Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true. All the flowers of spring.
Yes, it's spring. Am I on here? Yeah, it's spring. All the flowers of spring. And everything's beautiful and wonderful in life, isn't it, for everybody?
Yeah, especially except the April showers came in May, it looks like.
That's okay. We could use some extra rain.
And, yes, we could.
This is The Music of Marriage with
Bob and
Evie, short for Evelyn, in case you wondered. And it's spelled E-V-Y, not E-V-I-E, which is Evie. Which I always cringe when people call me Evie. So I have to correct them.
I only call her Evelyn when I want to compliment her. Because it's such a beautiful name.
You mean
name.
The other times? So here at The Music of Marriage, we want you to know that the reason we take the time to spend 3 years now, pretty much, of putting these shows together is to encourage you, because marriage is great, but it's also full of challenges because we're human.
Yes.
But we have a God who helps us, and he's helped us out of a lot of ditches, and you know, you forget the ditches when you get that help out, right? Mm-hmm. And we often find ourselves in a rut, and then we can finger point, we can start getting really sour about our whole life. Did I make a mistake? Did I marry the wrong person? And life comes at you with all kinds of challenges, and there you are together, and not necessarily with the tools in your head and in your heart that God has given us. We're not all aware of that toolbox of what his word is as a guide, kind of like you would look to the guide for how anything works or how to put anything together. And you know, today those books that tell you how to put something together, they
the self-help
the
books?
Manual, you know.
Oh, the manuals.
How to
oh.
put together your yeah. your guitar equipment or your computer or your phone, they come in just about every language in the world. So you're really searching a long time to find the directions you need.
That's the problem though. There are no more directions because there's too many languages to fit into the book. And so all they have is a diagram and you have to figure it out. Yes, I've seen this.
Isn't that nice? Do you remember the proverbial swing set? All the dads trying to put together swing sets when we were kids.
Yeah, on Christmas, out in the 30 degree weather.
I can hear them saying, now why don't they tell me with this bolt and that washer, and they didn't put enough, you know, washers in there or something. And you could hear all the dads in the yards, you know, trying to put these swing sets together. It was kind of a joke. All that to say that the instruction manual for marriage and how to function to bring more peace or to restore peace or to restore wholeness and resilience to broken and brittle marriages and relationships, it's all found in one handbook. It actually is written in most languages of the world by now, and that would be the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
TheMusicOfMarriage.com is our website, and we have podcasts there. We have a book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, Biblical Dynamics to Keep the Music Playing, and downloadable songs. But this week on The Music of Marriage, we wanted to, because of Mother's Day happening a couple days ago, kind of give a focus on something that is good to think about, and that is a wife. What is a wife of noble character? A woman is a wife. We know that. That's not hard to figure out. And the Bible talks about the woman of noble character. And there's a whole chapter on it. It's really quite remarkable and quite impressive. And of course, God made everybody different, like every single snowflake is unique, believe it or not. Every single snowflake has a unique design. So he's up to the task. We can trust him to know that when he gives us a manual, it's going to fit every single person that he created. So we can all go to that, even though we may have very different likes and gifts and talents. Some people like forest. Some women like forestry. They like, you know, a lot of things that are different than what we all like, have different gifts that God has given to
Archaeology.
Us.
Archaeology.
I mean,
all kinds of stuff.
You know, sewing, baking, cooking, you know, being a nurse and all different things. So, of course, men and women are God's way of creating more men and women. And he's kind enough in his instruction book for life called the B-I-B-L-E to give us a lot of encouragement that we will be blessed and we'll be happy. All the washers and the bolts and screws are in the package that God gives us.
That's like my dad, and back in those days when they did everything by hand, of course, you had to know the difference between a nut and a bolt, or a 3/16 nut and a 1/4-inch nut.
Which one are you?
Oh, very funny, very funny.
I'm the 1/16. You're the bigger one. You're the 1/4-inch.
Okay.
I'm admitting that I'm a nut.
I'm off my nut. I know that. But anyway.
That wasn't too bad.
He took apart a Mercedes, a 1960 Mercedes convertible, nut by nut and bolt by bolt, and just stripped it to a frame and an engine sitting over there on the side. And he threw all the nuts and bolts in a 5-gallon can. And he said, I wish I had separated them out, because now I have to find every single nut and bolt and washer. And but he did. He rebuilt the entire car, and that's really incredible. And won first prize in the New Hope Auto Show.
In Bucks County, Pennsylvania, yep.
That was pretty amazing.
Didn't somebody do that in the Mayberry jail?
A goober. somehow took apart a car and brought it into the jail and then rebuilt it. And Andy comes in, what is that doing? Get that out of here. Well, I can't just get it out. I have to unbuild it.
Well, the point is that the directions for how to put together the most complicated things in life, from a swing set to a Mercedes that we've taken apart. How complicated are your relationships in life right now? How complicated are your situations? How many things, relationship-wise, come to your head and just give you this feeling of, you know, oh boy. Or just sadness or hopelessness. Hopefully, there's peace and there's, okay, we've figured out where the nuts and bolts are. We know how to put this together, and there is hope. So not to emphasize the negative. And that's why the positive thing is that God does give us this instruction manual. So for women, being Mother's Day, wives, mothers, we thought it would be appropriate to hear what an ancient mother had to say about that applies to modern mothers and wives as well. This ancient mother was the mother of King Lemuel. And in the Bible, when this famous passage of scripture, Proverbs 31, is told, the beginning of it states the origin was from a mother, from a woman. But it was an oracle, which, Bob, can you explain what that would mean? Because to me, I feel like that sounds like something kind of a little far out. But
I mean, it's an authoritative statement. What does the dictionary say? Any utterance made or received as authoritative, yeah. Extremely wise, highly regarded, and influential pronouncements. Yes, and so Proverbs 31 was written by King Lemuel, but it was taught to him by his mother. And it's very, and that shows you right there, okay, this guy who wrote Proverbs 31 was king of the land at the time. He was a king. And his mother had something to do with that. And the fact that he had dedicates most of that chapter to him, verses 10 through 31, which are kind of interesting because in Hebrew, every verse is an acrostic. The whole thing is an acrostic and starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and the second, third, fourth, so on, all the way down to 31. Anyway, verse 31. But the influence that his mother had on him, obviously, was so significant that he thought it wise to put what she taught him in the Bible. And, of course, it wasn't him who thought it was wise. It was God, because everything in the Bible is divinely inspired by God, according to Scripture.
The point is that a mother, a woman, was the source of this wisdom. In the sense, this is what she's telling her son. This is the kind of gal you want to look for.
Yeah.
These are the character traits you want to look for in a wife. At the same time, it's saying too, because God put that in his word, he wanted us all to absorb it. So as a wife, or as thinking about being a wife, these are all components of the type of character that describes a good wife. Because it starts out saying, a wife of noble character, who can find? That question in itself indicates
that's rare.
that it's a challenge to have noble character.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this King Lemuel's mother is saying to him, a wife of noble character, who can find? But she says she is worth far more than rubies. Do you have jewels? Do you own jewelry? Do you value your jewelry? Are you impressed with the jewelry that the royals wear? Are you impressed with the jewelry that Hollywood people wear? Are you impressed with the jewelry that you have? Well, the worth of having noble character is worth far more. That isn't something that we are led to think about in too many places that we hear that, to be able to stop and think and be challenged. Oh, my character is more important. But, you know, we all do notice noble character,
mm-hmm,
very much. We notice when that person, that poorest person in your neighborhood, is the one who seems to be the most kind and generous. We notice that because we're wired, you know, from that same motherboard, to use the word mother, mm-hmm, so to speak, that God created us all to have, because we have his image in us. And so there's this standard of right and wrong and what is good and what creates love and happy feelings, happy relationships.
And that value, that worth, we'll get into that as we go along, really denotes not only the character of a person, the worth of the character, but how she's perceived by God and man. And how she's perceived by her husband is right here in verse 11, where it says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. That's really amazing.
But what if she doesn't have money?
Obviously,
the value is not in your money. It's not in your jewels.
Obviously, that statement is independent of financial security. And so this is the thing. If we place our value or our personal worth in the wrong areas, then we're barking up the wrong tree, right?
That's right. Our ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. if we are putting value on things that really aren't the important things. So how do we know what the important things are? Yeah. How do we know, and how do we get noble character? And what does noble even mean? It means, I think we had some definitions here on the outline about what noble means.
Did we? Okay. I thought, well, we have some also synonyms here for noble.
Grand, great, virtuous, worthy, splendid.
Benevolent, charitable, yeah. Dignified, extraordinary, gracious.
Magnificent.
Honorable, humane. Yes, splendid.
Dignified. How many women do you see and you think, my, she's dignified? I think Queen Elizabeth was a person that people would think that about. Let's say music awards shows or music stars, do you think when you see their performance, she's a dignified woman? You know, how about ourselves? So to understand the meaning of these words, noble character, is helpful to us because it, for example, I mean, for me, it makes me think, you know, am I acting in a dignified way? You know, if I have a tendency to just bust out with a temperamental shouting attitude, or an uncharitable attitude, how many ways could we think of that women are undignified? Maybe the way we dress, what's appropriate? Because we live in an era for a long time now that's been pushing the idea of we're just to accept anything and everything and be okay with it. You know, anything is okay.
And challenge the status quo and defy morality and all that stuff.
But the fact is that when you look at the results of this kind of thinking and living, we don't really have the same kind of societal and connectivity and supportiveness and security on a spiritual level, and we don't have it in our homes as much. Because if we are loose women, because we don't care how we dress or how we come across, if we're modern day, so to speak, well, God never changes, and His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that is the pattern that we need to swing back to and say, wow, I think I might have been playing a little loose and fast here. So King Lemuel, who was trained by his mother, she also takes care of the household. There are many references in this passage to that, and the modern-day person thinks of their value as having to do with self-esteem, and that's not where our value lies. A lot of times when it says her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value, we think of material things as being the value, and that causes a lot of breakdown in relationships really quickly, the money part. Because money does have value, and it's a real disturbance to our life and to our sleep if we don't think we have enough money to pay the bills or to get some basic things that we need. So there's a lot of tension that then creeps in. How do we deal with those tensions? We turn our mind to what is of true value to God, and then from there, those other problems can be solved.
In fact, your value is determined by God and by the character you develop, not only through the influence of the Spirit, which is mainly a character-changing, He's a character-changing force, but your performance in terms of obedience to God. Our value, though, is not just in our performance. It reflects our view of God and has as to whether or not we want to live the way He tells us to, whether we want to do His will or our will. your will be done or our will be done. So, and value is also a perception other people have of you. But the way people see your value is not necessarily reflective of your true value. Because of the way people place value on the wrong things, they believe or are affected by everything everyone says. And people often judge you or perhaps just don't like you because you're a good person. It could be anything, or you believe in the wrong candidate or whatever. You know, you don't think like they think. And so much, and you see this all over social media, people really kind of suffering under the burden of other people's opinions. But famous martial artist Bruce Lee said something really appropriate in this case, and he said, you will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything that is said to you. True power is sitting back and observing everything with logic. If words control you, that means everyone else can control you. Breathe and allow things to pass.
That's a noble character. When this is something we have to train ourselves in. If your husband comes at you or your child with something really harsh or critical, or a friend, or a Facebook post or whatever, this is what we need to do. We need to not have an instant emotional reaction to it, because using logic, we know the way out of this tension and this problem is to hold on for dear life to, I'm not going to respond in kind, which is the golden rule, do unto others. So they've done to you, like Opie said, but they did unto me, Dad, so I'm just doing back unto them.
It says what they did to me.
But this is really hard to do.
And a lot of people are looking for perks for their self-esteem instead of developing true good character. Good character does not seek the praise of men, but it seeks the praise of God. And if you're seeking the praise of God rather than the praise of men, you can really relax, because people's opinions of you are inconsequential. They don't matter.
Jesus was an example of that in his day, socially. He knew how to get along socially.
Yes.
He just stuck to doing the right thing. And no matter what anybody said about him, said to him, that didn't change how he acted toward the person. He always acted in character according to God's
will.
Yeah.
Can we
do that?
It said that Jesus entrusted himself to no man.
These social media things particularly are a place where we've just sold our souls out to them. I mean, I've been off for a while. And I think it can be great to share pictures and so forth, but it is just become such a drainage ditch for people for the worst to come out. And then there's so many people and young people who just get into it too much.
I know. They don't even know their own identity. If you don't have an identity in Christ, then your identity is in whatever you make it up to be. And that could be far below a person of character. You don't know. So it's all flexible or whatever you might want to call it. But Carl Jung, a famous philosopher, said, the world will ask you who you are. And if you do not know, the world will tell you. And a lot of people think that their character is what the world tells them. And Seneca, he's also a very famous ancient Greek philosopher, said, if a man knows not which port he sails, no wind is favorable. So
we have ancient quotes today.
they're good quotes, though. If you're a person of character, whether you're a man or a woman, your character determines your value. But also, your value is created by God, and if you're his child, you can't get any higher in value in his eyes. And that's of utmost importance.
So going back to the beginning of this section, which was a kind of a Mother's Day focus, that a woman of noble character, her value is worth more than rubies. So it's important that we see, in a day that has taken God out, now we have to see our value in terms of what other people tell us our value is. The government says this is your value. And they will do this in many different ways, increasingly as they impose themselves into every aspect of our life that they can possibly do so. That is not your true value, what the government says. That what social media people are saying is not your value. And if someone criticizes you, that doesn't mean that is your value, because in God's eyes, all of us have equal value. It's up to us how much do we value him. And when the more we value him, the more valuable we are to the people around us. And think about it, if Jesus had just responded back, and he could have retorted and done some pretty harmful things to the people who were harming him, because he was the Son of God, keeping their very hearts beating and the way they treated him. What an example that is, and that's why he came, to show us how to have value, how we can save other people by adapting our responses to what happens to our to us in life, and not responding and just defaulting to something that keeps the problem going.
We're talking about the wife of noble character, but that doesn't excuse the men from having a noble character. Anyway, there's a lot of things about men and husbands that are very necessary to understand here through this passage. But, you know, there's been a lot of movements in the past, in the 20th century, going into the 21st century, that have really put this passage, this whole teaching of a wife of noble character, out of reach. And one of them was the Women's Live movement, which started back in the 70s. And it really scorned the diligence of the Proverbs 31 woman by saying that she's out of touch, you know, and she needs to be in the workplace with men, and she needs to be equal with men. And there needs to be no differential equation there.
As if a woman wasn't already equal, right?
Equal in value for sure, but this exposed women to a whole host of temptations and stress that they previously didn't really encounter to a large degree, and it also devalued the woman's work at home, which was very important in God's eyes. You know, the Bible says a woman of noble character goes into the office. Is that what it says? No, it says her influence is largely felt more in the home, and her effectiveness as a wife and as a mother is much greater in the home. And so the woman does other things that are outside of the house, but they're all considered work. Evie used to get very upset when someone asked her, because she stayed at home with her kids and raised all her kids at home. We had four kids, beautiful kids. And the way they turned out has everything to do with that fact. But when someone would used to say to her, do you work? she would get a bit annoyed. Do I work? Where would you like me to start? And she went on a roll. But anyway.
Well, we have a special guest today, speaking of our wonderful kids. And she knows, she's a good friend since, oh boy, seventh grade or something. And this is Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Yeah, thanks
for participating. Well, you are the first. You'll get the, I don't know what we can send you. We'll send you something as a prize.
I feel very honored.
So Lauren is actually has wonderful parents and she's just been a great friend of our children and the family for years to this day. And I thought it would be really kind of interesting, instead of just hearing us and all of our wisdom, you know, we gotta give somebody else who's wise a chance to weigh in. But anyway, Lauren, I just wondered, as a young mother, you know, what thoughts you might have. This is kind of a real spur-of-the-moment thing, but because I know of Lauren's great character that she does have as a hardworking, and faithful mother and faithful to God's, you know, desiring to please God and all that. Just what is it like? What are your views on kind of motherhood today and the challenges? And, you know, what should we be looking at as a goal to strive for? It's kind of a lot, but that gives you a lot of latitude to say whatever you think about it. So,
So I would say, I mean, to what Bob said, it's absolutely true that a wife and a mom's role is supreme. And yes, a man and a woman are equal, but different, and we have different roles. And our highest role as a woman is in the home, raising our children. That is a great honor. It can be a sacrifice, too. It's hard work, but it is the most rewarding thing you can do. And it has the most impact on society. And I don't think people should look down on someone who chooses to stay home with their kids. But I get it, too, when I go out and they say, well, what do you do? Oh, that's all you do? No, that's not all I do. I mean, that's a big thing that we're doing. And, you know, our society just equates worth with your job or how much money you make or what you have. And, you know, it's hard to for people to go back to the almost old school principles now where, you know, the women would take care of the household and, you know, be there for her family and her kids. And that would, in turn, be the best thing for society. But now women are supposed to do it all. They're supposed to have the career and the kids. And that doesn't always work out.
Right.
Yeah, it does put a lot of pressure on. And when you talk about the work, you know, even providing food these days, I think more and more people, including myself, I mean, I'm a grandmother and I'm starting to try to learn about farming. You know this because you have chickens and you do these things. This is hard work to even think about, you know, when it's so much easier to just drive into the grocery store, pull up to the curb and have them bring out your bag with your eggs in it and your lettuce. Now you're thinking of, and you have, and you're raising, you know, chickens and eggs and other things. And I don't know, just explain some of those those things that are part of the busy, never-ending work of a mother in a home.
The benefits, really, too.
Right. Some of the luxuries of staying home is that you can get your hands in everything. So, yeah, I have chickens, and I love it. They're really easy to take care of. They're fun to watch. And, of course, it's very rewarding to have your own eggs. There's nothing like freshly laid chicken eggs. But, yeah, it's another benefit of staying home where you can, you know, do things that, you know, a person working wouldn't be able to tend to their chickens or, you know, stay home and bake sourdough bread or, you know, just making home-cooked things. And then, you know, we homeschool too. So, you know, spending time homeschooling and learning things together. And
that's important.
Very important. Absolutely.
Well, you have real time to influence children because you're there with them a lot. And that gives them a chance to see how and to learn the skills of life. You know, I remember in school it was, you know, required to take home ec and learn to sew. But, of course, now with the cheap labor, you know, buying things at, you know, stores can be cheaper than sewing, but learning home skills, home ec school skills. And I know that when you spend time at home with your children, they learn that, you know, they learn how to cook and they don't.
Right.
You know, I guess your perception would be completely different naturally if your mom went to work and ordered out or drove through take out Chick-fil-A or whatever all the time. your own chance to learn how to cook or even how to be hospitable, even having time to be hospitable to other people and to help those who are sick or who are alone at home or the elderly or your own parents. You're not there. So now they have institutions you can throw your parents into, so you don't have to. Well, I'm really making light of that. That's a blessing that they're there for the need. But the idea often today is, I'm thinking, wait, what happened to family, you know, and that nucleus, that importance of the home and what the women in society are doing there.
Right. The only way to perpetuate a stable society is a man and a woman being married and raising a family together, having children together, and you know, having those assigned roles that helps to the betterment of each other and their children, and then all of society benefits in the end.
And
if everybody would just follow God's rules.
Yes, exactly, Lauren. And it creates a beautiful equilibrium in the home.
Yes.
You know, those specific roles of husband and wife, parent and child that were given to us by God. And when you think about that equilibrium thing, the definition really is a state of rest or balance due to equal action of opposing forces. I thought it was kind of interesting. So, and so relationship roles should never work against each other. They're God-given distinctions that work in a harmonious way. And that's why it's unhelpful to merely view the roles of husbands and wives and mothers, fathers, and things like that in a stereotypical way, you know, like our society does. But
exactly.
view them as God defined them, and I think you said it well.
Well, our time is getting toward the end, but if you can hang on, Lauren, after this song, we could get a few more nuggets of wisdom. It's nice to just hear what, you know, an everyday wife working hard at home has to say about these things. So, and we have special guests, Lauren and Carla, who are both wives of noble character, we can attest. We've been talking about the importance and value of mothers and the importance of being at home and the influence that we have on our children and knowing what gives us true value. I know as a mother in the 80s, I was in the grocery store once, and Carla, you were little, and I had all these little kids, and this woman from an office on our lunch break with her red shoulder-padded power suit looked at me and said, "You poor thing," and I'm thinking, what? I'm thinking, this is not, something's wrong with this picture. This is the way.
Yeah.
But again, God calls people to different things, but I'd like Carla and Lauren for you just to weigh in on what you think are the most important things that we women can be encouraged about the role of mothering and being at home. So, Lauren, you want to go first?
Well, I think it is the most important role. You are influencing all future generations. Every generation is who they are because of their moms, essentially. Mm. So you have the power to influence the world by how you raise your kids and how they end up being a member of society. So I think it is the absolute most important job in the whole world. And it is the most rewarding and challenging.
Hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
And
Carla, what do you think about that?
I completely agree. And I feel like when there's this closeness and bond with the family and the way the moms are home with the kids, and you have a tighter bond and a closer relationship, and it also helps build moral character. And I think that is so important, because there's so many kids, even our kids, their friends, you know, parents with working moms, and they're not home much, and they're mostly just eating dinner alone or on their iPads, and it makes a huge difference in future depression, anxiety. So just having that love and trust, and when you raise a loving human that's trustworthy and caring and has good moral character, they can go out in the world and be a better example for other people and for God.
And how would you say, both of you in a nutshell, each of you, that the presence of the mother and the commitment to the work and the duty and the job of home life, how does that in itself, just your presence there, you mentioned some things, Carla, that are You both did. But ultimately, is there anything else that you would say is really good motivation for someone to put their value on that as opposed to even that extra income that would get you that whatever extra material stuff?
When you have a tighter family, it creates a tighter family bond and relationship, and it creates healthier humans, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And Lauren?
I would say anything that's worth anything is worth struggling over. So when you do hard things, you get good results, right? The payoff comes later. So you may be struggling in those early years when your kids are young and you're shuffling around, but it will pay off big time. As you can say in your older years, what a blessing it is to have your family now and your grandkids and seeing them all grow and become, you know, the beautiful people that they are. It's just hang on in those moments when it feels like a struggle, because it's going to get better, and you just got to, you know, hang on and trust God through it all.
In fact, Winston Churchill said, continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. That's
exactly
interesting.
And it's effort to be a good mother and a good wife. It's not just effort, though. The character building that it takes, because the patience and the get up when you're tired and push through cooking, making that soup when you have 104 fever, you know, those are all things that, you know, we as women, mothers, we've been through. But like you say, the payback is that the praise of a wife of noble character in Proverbs 31, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. He says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. You know, people notice that hard work, those our loved ones who are close to us, and nowhere like in the home, because no one lives with us day to day. But when our children realize what we've done for them, and when we realize what our parents, you know, even as we get older, we're thankful for what our mothers did for us.
The Word of God is telling us how we should view these women and the kind of input we should give them. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Not just lived with, but praised. And it says, honor her for all that her hands have done. Mm. And let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So, I just read that verse the other day, yesterday and today. I shared it with somebody.
Wow.
And I think, I don't know how easy it's going to be in today's world, but there just needs to be much more of an importance put back on mothering and being a stay-at-home mom and the effects it has on the family and the children for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just feels we're the minority now. And it's just so backwards. It shouldn't be that way. There should be such an importance. Look what the Bible says about it, like what you just read.
Absolutely, Carla. You girls have been very helpful.
The sense of community that used to be when I was a kid, all the moms were home. They were hanging the wash on the line, talking to each other while they were doing it in the neighborhood. And you knew that if your kid strayed or rode their bike around on the corner, that somebody else would have their eye on them. And I think that's a good, all those things you said could lead us back to that. And I think we're due for a change in that regard. What do you think, Lauren?
I think we're headed there. I think we are having a revival where people are realizing the value and the importance of staying home and raising their family. And I think they're, as hard as it is, I think a lot of people are trying to make it work. And that's a beautiful thing.
Well, we're going to have you guys on another time. You were very helpful. And we're out of time, however. So thank you.
This is the Music of Marriage, yes.
It is.
I just want to remind you, the musicofmarriage.com website, where you can get podcasts and share them.